1059 The Region, in partnership with RE/MAX Prime Properties, present On the Market, real estate advice that works for you. Have a real estate question? Call us at 416-335-1059. Tweet us at 1059 The Region or email us at info@1059theregion.com.
This is 1059 The Region. I'm Tina Cortez with On the Market, York Region's exclusive radio real estate show. Among our top stories in real estate this week, Canada's housing agency says it's ending the first-time homebuyer incentive program.
The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation says the deadline for new or updated submissions to the program is midnight Eastern Time on March 21st. The program was meant to help reduce monthly mortgage payments for first-time buyers by having the government take on partial ownership of a property. Homeowners have to repay the incentive after 25 years or when the property is sold, with the amount owing adjusted to reflect how the value of the property has changed. The program was hampered in part by eligibility issues, including limits to household income and the size of a mortgage the buyer could take on. Michelle Zedekian, The Canadian Press.
Now, earlier this week, the Bank of Canada held its key interest rate at 5%, suggesting it may be too early to think about rate cuts. With his take, our expert from RE/MAX Prime Properties, Asif Khan. Good morning, Asif.
Good morning, Tina. Yeah, certainly a lot going on in real estate this week and a lot making the headlines. And let's start with the home buyer program. Disappointing for sure. I mean, I think at this point, we really need to help first-time home buyers any way we can. And this program, when it first came out, had the promise to do just that. And for, you know, CMHC to be ending that program, maybe prematurely, it is disappointing, especially as we're looking forward to the market heating up, interest rates coming down. I think if people want to remain in the GTA, this program would have helped them a lot, but we're almost forcing them out of the city cores.
And what about your take on the Bank of Canada rate? Looks like they're holding steady.
They are, and I think everyone expected them to hold steady. I think it was too early to expect a rate drop. Initially, we were saying probably May or June for the first rate drop to hit us. And it's pretty consistent with what the Bank of Canada said. They said that they are trying to prevent an overheated market in the spring. And everyone gets out in the spring after March break to try and get their houses on the market or to purchase their homes. And I think a rate drop, I don't disagree. I think a rate drop definitely would help the people that have lines of credits and variable mortgages right now. But it certainly would spur the activity and get the market heated. Right now, we don't have a lot of inventory to start with. So hopefully we can build up some inventory. And then when the rate drop does hit, it will allow people a more of a comfort level to get into home ownership.
What are you hearing from your clients, both buyers and sellers?
I think buyers right now, we're trying to educate them to say this is a good window because exactly what the Bank of Canada said. The first rate drop is going to pretty much bring out all the crazy of the market that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years. And it's going to get ultra competitive because people will come off the fence and they'll be looking for those houses. It's going to end up in bidding wars because we still don't have a lot of inventory. So I think buyers now understand that this is their window of opportunity to purchase a house, to jump the gun on everyone else and be able to get into a home right now. And they may save $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 by doing that. And even if they're competing right now, which we are seeing bidding wars and multiple offers, they're not competing with 15 or 20 people. They may be competing with 2 or 3 people. So with that said, the buyers that are savvy are out hunting for a house right now to take advantage of the market conditions right now. With sellers, they're, you know, March break is usually when people get their homes ready and get on the market just after. And I think we're starting to see that. We're hearing a lot about people fixing up their homes, asking questions, and they're going to be ready to go by the end of March, early April. So the sellers that want to jump the gun on that and get on the market right away, now they're the only listings out there. So they're going to command those bidding wars, even with a lower number of buyers out there right now. So people are, they're starting to get savvy. It's like playing chess, and you have to make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to win. So the sellers that are going on the market right now want to beat the rush after March break in order to get everyone else on the market. And the buyers that are out there right now are trying to beat the rush of the spring market buyers coming on after the first rate drop. So it is almost like it's like a chess match out there.
So what advice then do you have? Get out there sooner rather than later?
Yeah, definitely. As a buyer, you don't want a lot of competition. And as a seller, you don't want a lot of competition. So the sooner you get out there, the better it is for you. The times that you get the most value for your home is going to be when there's less listings on the market in your area. And that would be this time. And as a buyer, you want to get out there when there's less buyers competing for the same property. So again, for both of those people, the time to act is right now.
And in terms of, you know, getting those homes ready, now is the time that potential buyers and sellers are doing that. What should they be focusing on? What areas of their home will make it easy to sell?
The first and foremost is decluttering. Secondly, right now with the weather changing and getting a lot better, this is a great time to clean up your front yards and your backyards, have some curb appeal going for you when people first drive up to your property. And then it's making sure the power area, so the kitchens, the bathrooms, they're taken care of, because that's what people are going to look at. The other thing is the majors in the home. And by that, I mean windows, roof, furnace. People that are moving in want to make sure that these are done. Otherwise, they're going to negotiate off of the price if they have to come in and do the furnace right away, or if they think that the roof is on its last legs and they have to change the shingles right away. All of this is going to affect the value of your home. So make sure all of those are ready, a fresh coat of paint, clean windows. I can't stress that enough. It's such an easy fix, but clean windows make a house stand out. And then lighting. You know, it's a pet peeve of mine when I walk into a home and see three different types of light bulbs being used on the same floor. You know, make sure that it shows paint. You know, they say light is, you know, something that attracts the eyes, and you want to make sure that your home is well lit, the windows are clean so you're letting in a lot of light, and you have a fresh coat of paint and the house is clean. So these are things that you can focus on over the holidays to get your home set up and ready to go.
And as we mentioned, the Bank of Canada held its key interest rate at 5%. We don't know what's going to happen in early April when the next scheduled date for announcing the rate is, but what do you think is going to happen at that time? And if it's, you know, holding steady even in April, what do you anticipate happening in the market?
I think 90%, it's pretty much a given that the rate will be held in April. And I don't think we're going to see a rate drop until May or June. I think people are getting more comfortable that we are at the highest that the rate will be over the next little while. I don't think there's any threat of the rate going up a quarter point or anything like that. And, you know, with the promise that rates are going to be coming down in May or June or July, I think the comfort level has returned for people. There's a lot more people out there looking right now, because that level of confidence has returned when you're looking at homes and purchasing homes. And that brings the sellers out, because now the sellers know that buyers are going to be out. So a rate hold is not a bad thing in this situation, because all signs are pointing to rate decreases in the near future.
All righty, we'll wait and see what happens next. After the break, the shocking numbers from the rent report. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him, 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market, York Region's radio real estate show. Over to my co-host and our real estate expert, Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties, as we shift our focus to rental properties. Asif.
Tina, joining us is Giacomo Lattis from rentals.ca, and Giacomo is the communication director. Giacomo, welcome back to On the Market.
Hey, also, thanks for having me back on.
Giacomo, I know you've got some information that's hot off the press. Tell us a little bit about what the rental numbers looked like over last month.
Yes, absolutely. So the rentals.ca national rent report has just been released. And what we saw was that the average asking rent for all property types increased 10% annually to $2,193, which is the fastest annual growth since September of 2023. So what we're seeing is, you know, record increases. And compared to February 2022, which we're looking at a two-year break there, just before the onset of the interest rate increases by the Bank of Canada, the average asking rents in Canada have increased by 21%, which translates to about $380 per month increase for asking rent.
Giacomo, you said these are record increases. Were you surprised by the findings this go around?
Yes, I was surprised. You know, the rapid rate of rent growth in Canada, it's truly unrelenting right now. And while some markets are experiencing a softening in rents, others are seeing a real acceleration with an underlying theme right now that the rental supply remains grossly insufficient compared to the demand that we're seeing. And I find it quite shocking, too, because we are seeing a lot more supply come into the market. However, demand is still remaining so high that we're seeing the rent increase in many areas across Canada.
And you're right, Giacomo, because even I'm surprised, because we're hearing a lot about having a lot more inventory out there for rentals and prices softening, but the numbers didn't reflect that. Is there an area or a city that really stood out in terms of increase?
Yeah, for sure. And that's a really great question, because what's happening right now is we're really seeing like a national story of what's going on. So, like, for example, Ontario and British Columbia, they posted the slowest growth in asking rents for purpose-built apartments with only a 1% increase. So that's great. However, areas like Alberta has maintained its lead as the province with the fastest growing rents. And what we saw from this last month is that Edmonton, Alberta, has emerged as the leader for rent increases in Canada's largest cities, posting an annual growth of 17.3%. So what's happening right now is people are not able to afford rent in Ontario and British Columbia, and they're moving to areas such as Edmonton or Calgary or even Quebec in search for more affordable rents.
And what can you tell us about the findings in the rental market in the GTA and specifically here in York Region as well?
Yeah, so what we're seeing right now is actually in the GTA, rent increases are not going up as rapidly as other areas across the country. For example, like Oakville, year-over-year increase for one bedroom remained almost identical and actually saw a decrease month over month. Scarborough, same thing, a decrease of 1.2% for one bedroom month over month. So it's quite interesting what's happening. North York, very similar to that, about a 1% decrease month over month. So what that's really dictating us is two things. One, this is a slower rental season in the time of year. You know, there's less listings in certain cities and there's less people looking to move. So it's going to be a slower time and rents are going to be a little bit more leveled out. But it's also showing us that there's less demand in some of these areas and therefore people are moving to other areas across the country in search of more affordable rents.
And speaking of moving to other areas across the country, Alberta has been a hot spot, especially for investors that are looking at purchasing properties and renting them out. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening in Calgary, Edmonton, and those cities. And is it still a good investment to go to Alberta to purchase an investment property?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it seems to me that the demand has never been higher for Alberta. When I mentioned earlier that the average rent in Canada right now is about $2,200, more or less, if you look at Calgary, for example, the average rent right now for one bedroom is $1,700. So you can save quite a bit of money by moving out that way. And because of that, we're seeing interprovincial migration still remain high, and therefore Calgary demand is going to be high. And the good thing, too, about Alberta specifically is that province seems to be the one that's, for lack of a better term, more resilient to handle this demand, as it's typically much faster for apartment completions to happen out there, And they're also doing a really good job with office to residential conversions. So basically, empty office spaces are being converted to apartments. So it's a much more capable province of handling this increase of demand, which means that if I had to predict something, that area won't see the surging rent prices as areas like Toronto and Vancouver, just because they've proven that they're able to bring more supply into the market. And when, if there's more supply, people will come. And therefore, it's probably a good investment right now.
Now, you said this is a slower time. When is the busy time in the rental market? And what do you expect to happen at that point?
So what we typically find is that the busier seasons are really when the weather is warm. Nobody wants to move in the winter, right? It doesn't matter if you're going to an apartment or buying a house. So when the spring rental season comes, we usually see a surge. And then we also see a second surge in August, right before students start their first semester, with a rapid increase of people trying to find that their suite right before the first semester there. So that's typically when we see things pick up. What I'm looking forward to in this year is to see really what happens with interest rates. If interest rates do find a way to come down a little bit, what that should do is promote people to transition into the home ownership market. And when that happens, there'll be more turnover in purposeful rentals. And if there's more turnover, there's more supply. And when there's more supply, demand will go down a little bit. So I'm kind of really paying attention to what happens with interest rates, because I think that's a huge component of what we're seeing right now.
Giacomo, there's a lot of focus about the higher rents. And as you started off saying, you know, record rental rates right now are around the country, basically. Is there any area that really stood out for affordability?
So what stood out for myself for affordability is really the areas of the country where we're seeing 18, 19, 20% increases, such as Edmonton, which saw a 20% increase year over year for a one bedroom. That stood out to me. However, if you look at the big cities like Toronto, for example, you're spending $2,500, $2,600 a month for a one bedroom. And that's with the month over month increases remaining pretty flat. Vancouver, we're looking at about $3,000 a month for a one bedroom. So even though we can say things such as, you know, rent didn't accelerate that much in these regions, the rent is so high that even if rent remains flat, it's very unaffordable for people. So until we start seeing some larger decreases in the rent costs, I think it's going to be almost a pipe dream for some people to really get into the rental market in these areas without a large, large income coming in.
Sounds a bit discouraging. So what is the headline? What's the biggest takeaway from the rental report for landlords and for those who may be searching for a rental property in the coming months?
I think there's two things. I think the big headline right now is average asking rents is getting to about $400 more a month now than it was 2 years ago. So we're about $2,200 a month for average asking rent. And the second thing that we've seen a lot is roommate listings on rentals.ca has increased 72% in February compared to this time last year. So what's happening is the need for shared accommodations is really increasing, and people are posting rooms that they have available, whether that's a basement apartment, maybe a room in their house. They're posting that at a faster rate than we've ever seen before. 72% increase from this time last year of shared accommodations. So we're looking at that because people are not, you know, they're all running out of options. And the way to really help rent is to find a roommate. So the need for those shared accommodation listings has never been higher.
And with those shared accommodations, before we let you go, Giacomo, they're going to need special request or approval from a landlord to be able to sublet a property. So how are they going about that? Are landlords allowing this to happen, or is it just rents are going up so much that people are now looking for help?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So as you just mentioned, rents are going up so much, and going from a one-bedroom to a two-bedroom apartment, you're not doubling the cost of rent, but you can split the rent prices, right? So it's a very attractive thing for, let's say, you know, two friends who are looking to rent an apartment. They're going to look together and see if they can help the cost of rent. But what else is happening, which is kind of an untold story about this, is that with people's mortgage payments increasing so much because of interest rates, you know, we're seeing stories of people's mortgages double or triple right now. Well, they need an influx of income somehow. Well, we have a room, or we have a basement, you know, or we have a guest suite that we're going to start renting out. And that seems to be sometimes the only option for them to see an influx of income come in. So we're seeing those listings increase a lot too. So I guess it's twofold. One, there's people who are landlords that are renting out space in order to get some more income. And two, we're seeing that people are really prioritizing affordability, and that means finding a place with a roommate. So this seems to be the only option for many people.
Giacomo, if our listeners want to read the full report, where can they find it?
Yes, so you just have to visit rentals.ca, and right at the top of the page, you'll see a rent report, and everything will be listed there from nationally, provincially, and municipally as well.
Giacomo, thanks for your time. Can't wait for the next report.
Thanks so much, Asif. Happy to be here.
When we come back, your real estate questions. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him, 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market. Your questions for Asif Khan are next, and we begin with a question from Belinda. We are saving for our first home. Asif, what is the average price of a single detached home in Peel Region, Durham Region, and York Region? We both work in Midtown Toronto, but we cannot afford to purchase in 416. What are your suggestions and comments about our commute? Asif, lots to digest there.
There sure is, and it really depends on where in the 905 you're purchasing. So if you budget for around the $1.1 to $1.2 million range in all of those areas for an average for a single-family detached, then that's going to be a pretty good area to consider. Now, with the first steps, the first thing you want to do is you want to go to your lender and find out what you're approved for and what type of down payment you have and things like that. So a lender will be able to take care of that first step for you, get you pre-qualified, and they will let you know how much you're qualified for and what you can go out and spend in terms of a house and in terms of a mortgage. After that, now you start looking into different areas to try and see what areas hit all the right buttons for you, and that means what amenities do you want to be close to, how do you envision your first home, what type of home is it? Is it a townhouse, a semi? If you're looking just for single-family detached, we can narrow in on areas for those as well, but depending on what your qualification comes back at, we may have to alter that a little bit, and then we can always look at your needs, your wants, and then move forward from there.
Now, Belinda is asking for specific prices in Peel, Durham, York. Are you suggesting to her that maybe there isn't a huge difference between those 905 areas, or is there a large gap?
There really isn't. I mean, Peel right now, it depends, again, in Peel, if you're in Mississauga, if you're in Brampton, there could be some variations there. But generally speaking, if it's just averages, you're going to be in that $1.1 to $1.2 million range. If you're in York Region, it's going to be a little bit higher if you're in Markham, Richmond Hill, Vaughan. But as you start moving up through, say, Newmarket, Aurora, Keswick, you're going to start to see prices a little bit lower than what they are. So it's really hard to narrow down with regional aspects until you start considering specific cities, and then you can get into the specific price ranges there. And Durham seems to be the most affordable out of those three areas, but even Durham's climbing now. So there's one thing when you see asking prices in the $899 range, but once you start looking at the demand that's in Durham right now and the bidding war process and the multiple offers that are hitting just because of the sheer demand part of it, you're going to start to see those prices climb as well.
Now, Belinda is asking as well for your take on the commute, whether it is from Peel or Durham or York into Midtown Toronto for work. That commute can sometimes take its toll, right?
It really can, and that's why a lot of the areas, even in Durham and Peel, York Region, if you're closer to the 407, it's pricier because a lot of people are relying on the 407 to get to work for that commute. If you're along, you know, closer to the 427, or if you're closer to the 410 or 404, that's going to help with your commute, because that you still have to come across and then get down into Midtown. But it really depends on where you're looking. But it's not uncommon for people that are commuting from the 905 to spend an hour, hour and 20 minutes in the car. And a lot of people are relying on GO Transit to be able to make that commute a lot easier. You know, from Markham or Unionville, you can get downtown probably in about 40 minutes. So it really does save a lot of hassle and wear and tear on the car and everything as well if you are close to public transit.
The next question comes from Mary in Richmond Hill. She writes, we are planning to purchase a property in the spring, but are concerned about getting caught up in a bidding war. What's your advice, Asif, to handle this very stressful situation?
There's a lot of demand out there, and the demand seems to be increasing by the day. So I would say in the spring, we're probably not going to see an interest rate decrease until probably early summer. And the Bank of Canada said recently that they did not decrease the rate right now and will not decrease the rate during the spring season just to avoid that overheated housing market. So there's a window of opportunity for you before that rate decrease, when everyone gets out there after the rates start to go down. This could be a good window to jump into home ownership. And by that I mean you may not have to compete with 7 or 8 or 10 other people for these properties. So even though the rate is a little bit higher now, the rate will come down, but you'll get the house that you want without having to compete with many more people.
And what if Mary does get caught up in one of those situations? And I know you've had to navigate this space for your clients. What advice do you have for her?
I would say take the emotion out of it and just consider it as a transaction that you would want to make. So you have to have your expectations going in. Set your expectations, set your budget, and be prepared to walk away from that property. Just because you're in a bidding war, it doesn't mean you have to win. It still has to be financially viable for you and when you're making that decision, and it has to be worth it. Some people get caught up and they pay $100,000 or $200,000 more for that property just because they love it. But now you've got an extra 3-4 years maybe to try and make that price up if you need to sell it again. So there's a lot of factors to consider, and a realtor will be able to point out what market value is. Stay within market value, because the other thing is, if you get caught up in a bidding war and don't hold back when you're supposed to, the house may not appraise. So now you have to put more money in, because the bank will not finance the extra amount that you're paying in a bidding war.
And that's where the professional comes in, because I've heard you tell your clients, be careful about the concessions you're willing to make. You know, perhaps, you know, removing some of those conditions. Not always a good idea, right?
Not always. And, you know, there's always ways that you can get around those. You can get pre-qualified. That's first and foremost. You shouldn't be shopping for a home if you're not pre-qualified, because then you know exactly how much you can spend. And even with the pre-qualification, it's not an approval. A lot of people think, well, I'm pre-qualified for this amount, so I can go and spend this amount. Well, if the market value of that house is only $900,000 and you're qualified for $1 million, and you know, you go out and spend $1 million, but the appraisal comes back at $900,000, you're still on the hook for that extra $100,000. So it's house specific. It's not just your pre-approval amount. The bank will do its due diligence and make sure they're coming back and saying, okay, well, for this property, you're only approved for $900,000 or so. So it's really important to have those conversations with your lender, and then, you know, make sure you're doing your home inspection, even if there's a bidding war and you have to go in firm. You do have an opportunity before that to go in and do a home inspection, and it could be the best $400 you spend.
As a reminder, if you have questions for On the Market, send your email to info@1059theregion.com. But Asif, if our listeners prefer to contact you directly, how can they do that?
They can call me at 416-985-5426.
If you missed any part of our show, go to 1059theregion.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible. I'm Tina Cortez for Asif Khan. Thank you for listening.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca.